And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Speaking of making zero sense, here's me. Hey, what's going on? How are you? Great to be with you on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Encourage you, as always, to download the 605 radio app or the Hub City Radio app and take us wherever you go and get all prepped up for game days and what have you as you drive to and from point A to point B and you're on your way to high school games and you say, oh, I want to listen to the pregame show. I want to hear what Matt McClure has to say when he talks with head coach X or head coach Y, or what Tukes has to say when he talks to Paula Kruger or Saul Phillips or something like that, or I guess in your context would be Coach Norberg and obviously Michaela Archigo and all that good stuff. And by the guy I'm talking to, that's Matt McClure. He joins us here live as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Went out to tea there. Pretty easy drive for the most part. It was pretty clear. We weren't really dealing with much weather. So pretty cool, though, seeing that. You know, different. I mentioned it last week, but I like going to different gyms and seeing what they got, and T was a great environment there last night.
I've never been to T before. Good place?
Oh, yeah, really nice. Really nice, and, you know, the hospitality they showed us there was really nice, you know, had us all set up, and I appreciate the folks out there making it a pretty comfortable setup, and they were really nice about it.
Very cool. So looking forward to talking about that matchup last night with Aberdeen Central on the girls' side of things. They were down south in T. They got another double-double from one of their post players, and Taryn Hermanson has had herself a really, really solid year. I think she's got a legitimate case to be an all-ESD player for sure before this thing's all said and done. I don't think that's a bold statement, but those awards, of course, will come out in a couple weeks. We'll talk about that matchup there from last night, plus three records. I don't know if they're all school records. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I think actually all three are school records.
Yeah, they are.
Three of them in 4 days. It's just, there's something in the water. We'll talk about that as well. And Todd Neuendorf, the head coach of the Mitchell Colonels back in the day, former head coach of the Aberdeen Roncalli boys basketball squad back in the day, and the current head coach of the Hamlin Chargers. He'll be joining us here in about 10 to 15 minutes on the program on Fox Sports Aberdeen, plus towards the back half of the show on Aberdeen Wings Weekly. So a full show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But that's where we begin, sir. And we got to talk about this because I'm not quite sure what the deal is. Feels like there's something in the water in South Dakota high school athletics because we've had 3 days, or actually we've technically had 4 days, but three records set in that span. Now, there's been seasons that have gone by without records set. And Thursday, Addison Heinge drops in 50, school record there for Wilmot. Okay, that's pretty impressive. Okay. What else you got? Oh, well, Lane Cotton's going to drop in 52, 24 hours later there for Falkton. That's a program record. And then last night, Joey Johnson, slacker, he didn't get 50, but he got 48, next best thing. Of course, I'm joking, but are you kidding me? What is going on? We've got three records set in 4 days with South Dakota high school basketball, and these are program records, one for Wilmot, one for Falkton, one for Aberdeen Christian. It's phenomenal what's going on right now.
Special. I think it's the right word to use. It's just every night there's somebody different stepping up to the plate. Heinge with the 50 points for Wilmot. You mentioned it with Falkton there. We talked about that yesterday with Lane Cotton. And then Joey Johnson. It's just something with Aberdeen Christian right now. Yeah. They're red hot. They've won 11 straight games. They won again there last night over Hitchcock Tulare. And again, one guy outscoring an entire team. What is going on? He outscored them 48-44. Just unbelievable performance by Heinge, Falkton, and now Johnson. Like you said, I don't know what they're eating for breakfast, but you got to continue to eat it. If you're eating Wheaties, continue eating Wheaties for breakfast because this is special stuff.
Man, I don't know. Maybe they're all, you know, taking that Michael Jordan secret sauce.
Oh, the secret stuff.
They're just passing it around the locker room or something like that. It's like, hey, yeah, I noticed you had 31 the other night. How'd you like to get to 52? There you go. I don't know what the deal is, but we're seeing some really special performances right now for sure. And speaking of special, There is something to be said. I don't want to hear anybody say that superstitions are not real. Superstition, I am all in. Some people would say, Tukes, you're an idiot. There's no such thing as a superstition that actually means anything. Well, I have the microphone and you don't, so leave me alone in that context. But Aaron Moeller has a lucky hat, I'm just saying. And I texted him last night and I said, you better super glue that thing to your scalp. Because they've won 11 straight games, Aberdeen Christian has, and don't want to overlook anybody, but they've got Langford coming up here tonight. They've had a really tough season. They're 0-18 right now. So Joey Johnson, after a game last night against a Hitchcock Tulare team who was 7-10, no slouch, not a bad team. Langford's had a tough go about it this year. Maybe you kind of give him some rest. I don't know. Do you load manage Joey Johnson after 48 last night, or you let him go? I don't know. But either way, Aberdeen Christian has won 11 straight games. Lions tonight, then they'll be taking on Potter County on the 16th. I think that's Friday. Little Wound then on the 19th before wrapping up against Groton. So you want to talk about a hot team. Aberdeen Christian right now is probably one of the hottest teams in all of basketball, regardless of class, regardless of gender.
Yeah, and we were looking at the polls here, and we'll talk about that, but saw them receiving votes in the polls in B, and they were kind of not in that category at all. And now people are starting to say, hey, this Knights team right now, watch out, because Joey Johnson and that team, Aaron Moeller with the hat, I'm all for it. Don't wash that hat. That's all I'm saying. Just let it roll. Let it roll right now. And whatever they're doing right now, that you can just tell the confidence level's up, and what a performance last night, and really what an incredible turnaround. I know it was only 1-4 to start, but I don't think anybody saw 11 straight wins. I didn't. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I didn't see this good of a stretch for them for sure. And especially with all of the talent they lost from last year, the coaching they lost from last year. I know he was a part of the staff last year, don't get me wrong, but it's just incredible what they are doing right now. And Aberdeen Christian is just one of the hottest teams in all of Class B, or like I said, regardless of gender, A, B, AA, doesn't really matter. They're playing some incredible ball right now, and they're hungry for more. They'll be taking on the Lions here tonight. So we'll talk some high school basketball with Todd Neuendorf, the second-ranked team, according to the media, in Class A on the boys' side there. He'll be joining us in a little less than 10 minutes or so from right now. We've got a lot of high school notes to get to following our conversation with Coach Todd Neuendorf. But first and foremost, a couple things that I saw. I wanted to get these in here quick-like for the jump here today. So we talked about the Super Bowl pretty much at length yesterday, but just a couple more notes on it as word continues to get out. You even mentioned it during the show that the rules of the Super Bowl overtime, playoff overtime rules, were a little bit murky for some teams, or at least some players. Seems like the Chiefs kind of knew what they needed to get done, what they had to get accomplished. And, well, not everybody on the Chiefs, apparently. I don't know if you saw this. But Mecole Hardman, he didn't know that his touchdown won the Super Bowl until Patrick Mahomes told him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is nuts to me. But okay, seems like most Chiefs players knew that that was the game winner. And also saw this yesterday, we even talked about this as well. Multiple 49ers players say they had no idea what the overtime rules were, and the strategy discussions about overtime, they did not occur as a team. So my question is this. Is it time to just go to the official college rules for overtime? I've been a big proponent that the NFL needs to be kind of a standalone wolf in that regard. Do your NFL rules for overtime. I do enjoy college football and the overtime rules with getting the ball at, what, the 10-yard line? Or
25.
25 now, yeah. High school is the 10, pardon me. So high school, you get the 10. College is the 25. Pros, changes on the week, feels like, or the season. Is it time for the NFL to go to the college side of things?
I don't think so.
No,
No, I don't think so. I kind of like how they have it. It's a little bit confusing, but I think at the professional level, you know, you got to just play the game out, have that extra quarter, and see what happens. I'm completely fine with the overtime. Now, the rules are a little bit confusing, but honestly, I don't mind them, because even if the one team scores, you have another opportunity to get the ball. You know, and even if they would score a touchdown, we're talking playoffs. I do like how they do it in the regular season. Mm-hmm. If the team scores a touchdown, game over. I do like that rule. And honestly, they probably should maybe think about they literally had that rule in the postseason before the Josh Allen Kansas City game that went was the final score. It was like 38-35, whatever that
something
final
like that, yeah.
Whatever that final score was, and people in the media and everybody was like, hey, it's not fair. Josh Allen didn't get the ball. He might have scored. They were clicking on offense. It's not fair. He didn't even touch the ball. It's all based on the coin toss. So I do like the new playoff rules, but, I mean, these are veterans that didn't know the overtime rules. Kyle Juszczyk, he guy's been in the league forever. He was a Baltimore Raven. I think Armstead, the guy's been in the league forever. How about Kyle Shanahan? He's literally been in an overtime Super Bowl game and when he was with the Falcons. Didn't know the rules then? Really? You got to say something about, hey, if we go to overtime, this is what we're doing. They didn't have any strategy. Now, I don't think it cost them the game by any means, but I just found it really weird that these veterans on the 49ers are going out publicly. Oh, we didn't know what the game plan is. We just kind of won the toss and thought we needed to receive. Mm-hmm. Just no game plan at all. It was very odd.
Very strange, for sure. And, you know, if there is any sort of rule that needs to be changed with overtime, maybe make it 1st and 20 instead rather than 1st and 10. You put the ball at the 5-yard line rather than the 20 or the 25, because all touchbacks go to the 25 now.
Yeah.
Do you move it back a little bit more? I mean, I feel like there's some ways, some wiggle room for these sorts of things, but I get really, really sick and tired of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and everybody complaining on these platforms. We need to change the rules because Josh Allen didn't get a chance.
Yeah.
Well, the game didn't start in overtime. They actually had 60 minutes to kind of figure it out. So,
and their defense couldn't get off the field in 13 seconds.
13 seconds. They didn't have a chance. Please.
Yeah.
No, they had plenty of chances, just couldn't get the job done.
Yes.
49ers also fumbled the ball multiple times on Sunday.
Yeah, the special teams fumble. Muff punt. I mean, I totally forgot about that play until yesterday when I was recapping the game a little bit. Totally forgot about that play. That led to a touchdown.
Didn't do anything with the interception of Mahomes right around midfield.
Yep.
3 and out. Oh, didn't have enough chances. What do you mean you didn't have enough chances?
He scored 19 points or 22 points. Not going to be enough.
Not against KC, that's for sure. We're talking on the high school side of things next. Head coach Todd Neuendorf, he'll be joining us. Then towards the bottom of the hour, back half of the show, Jay Kleinconnect with an Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly. We're back on the Sports Hub. This is FSA. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra, Fangs, and all on this Tuesday edition of the show. Do you have Fangs?
No.
No, me neither.
I wish I did.
You too?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
That could be kind of rough.
Yeah, no. It'd be pretty cool, though.
Fangs with the Cobra. You got to lean into it, man. Yeah, there you go. It's good stuff. We got to drop in a sounder like that, the old hissing sound. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly. Jay Kleinconnect, he's got your Wings Weekly towards the back half of the show. First and foremost, we're talking some boys basketball with the head coach of the Hamlin Chargers. He is Todd Neuendorf. Coach, thanks for taking some time, sir. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Our pleasure, for sure. And a great season here to date. 15-3 sitting at right now. And I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back there because I said not a good start to the season. Here we are in the tail stretch of it. So just mentally speaking, give myself a little pat on the back there for that. But you guys have had a lot of really, really tough matchups just in terms of being battle-tested and everything like that. Is this kind of where you expected to be right now? I know you guys returned a lot of players from last year, but a great, great season to date right now for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's been good. You know, we've kind of a strange thing. We've lost to... You know, two of those losses are to Sioux Falls Christian. We played them within 2 weeks of each other and lost the first one at the buzzer and then lost the second one in a tight game with about 41 seconds, was still tied up, and then they hit a shot and then it became the fouling game. So, you know, lost to a really good team there and then ended up losing to, number one team out of Tennessee. So, you know, wish we could have gotten one of those games. Just seed wise points. The crazy thing is, we're sitting here at 15-3 right now, and we're a 5 seed in the A bracket. You know what I mean? Like 15-3, you've lost to number one Sioux Falls Christian and number one in Tennessee, and you're the 5. Right now you're sitting 5 feet in PowerPoint.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That does not make sense.
There's just a lot of good teams in A basketball right now. And, competition level is good. Like we felt we had a gauntlet of basketball with Sioux Falls Christian and played DeSmet and played Sioux Valley and then played Dakota Valley and then came back and played Sioux Falls Christian. I don't know if I mentioned Castlewood, but yep. played mm-hmm. Castlewood, who's number one in B. And, it's been a stretch for our guys, and we've played pretty well. Defensively, we've played pretty well, and that's what we're happy with right now. And this time of the year, the shooting comes and goes, but the defense carries everywhere you go. That gets off the bus. So that's what we've been preaching to our kids, is got to keep playing on that end. So,
the last four games, Coach, you've held opponents under 50, 47 to Castlewood. You gave up only 48 to Sioux Valley. I saw that score last week. That was at the fifth, and that surprised me just how you beat them down pretty good. And then you only gave up 34 and 39. What have you been seeing over the course of the last, I don't know, maybe four or five games, specifically on the defensive end?
Well, it's been, I'd say when we started the year, we have some kids who are athletic, and we were playing having five athletes on the floor, so everybody was kind of doing their thing. Now it would appear defensively that we're all kind of on the same page. Our off-ball defense is really good. Our ball screen stuff is really good. They're talking and communicating. We practice only yesterday. We go through our shooting stuff to begin with, and then we go into our shell, and our shell lasts about 20, 25 minutes and everything we do in that. And then as soon as I yell shell, you can see the look on their face like, oh, I hate shell. and I told them, I know you hate shell, but that's the reason we're in the spot we are is the shell defense. So, I just attribute that to our kids. Like they're able to, make adjustments on the fly. If we don't like the way something's going, they're smart kids where we can change it. And then we've defended teams different here down the stretch with the ball screen stuff and with everybody's ball screening and their different personnel doing it. I think all that plays a role, just the way we're able to change things up, and kids are pretty smart.
Todd Neuendorf, head coach of the Hamlin Chargers boys basketball squad, joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And we're kind of getting to that point in time of the season here, Coach, where it's mid-February, everyone's a little bit sick, maybe a little bit tired, a little bit run down. How's the health of your squad? How are you guys kind of hanging in there? Because these are kind of the dog days of the winter, feels like.
Yeah, we kind of went through that. We were banged up when we played Christian the second time. Our post guy was he didn't practice all week, and then tried to play in that game. He had rolled his ankle, so he was a little banged up. And we went through the sickness where everybody was hacking and coughing, and we've kind of gotten through that. Knock on wood. So hopefully that doesn't come back. But we buzzed through that. And for the most part, we didn't, nobody missed games or practice, so that part was good. But like you say, it's now we play tonight, and we play Thursday, and then we're off until the 27th. It's a little layoff. It's a tough deal because you think well, maybe we should have a game, and then you also think, well, it's good we don't have a game. We get everybody healed up, and we can clean stuff up. I don't know what the best answer is for that. I've always liked the time off just to get everybody reduced and going again, but I don't know if that's right or not.
Mm-hmm. Kind of to piggyback off of Tukes' question, but do you feel like this season's flying by a little bit? I mean, we're already here in February. You only got two games left. I feel like a lot of games haven't been really moved because we've had a mild winter. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think it's been flying by? Or I know you've been dealing with some injuries and things like that. What do you think?
No, I think it has. I think I told this to somebody the other day. I think the season has flown by because, we haven't had those snow days. We haven't had, we haven't had any snow, period, And for some reason, it seems like because of that. Like you said, there hasn't been any games canceled or moved back, and or very few of that. And it has flown by. You know, I tell this to, even when I was at Roncalli way back when, I know people say this, that they love this time of year. And if you're a basketball fan, you do love this time of year, because postseason basketball, March Madness is coming. As a coach, you know, as a coach, you hate this time of year because you know, there's, you got to make sure you got all your done, and there's no tomorrow. If you mess it up in the postseason, you're not practicing the next day, and that's always kind of a thing for me. Like I want to make sure I don't mess it up, and I give the guys the best opportunity to play in that state tournament. So, you know, I kind of, if we qualify for the state tournament, then we're good. But up until that point, I hate March Madness, you know? And so, yeah, I think it's gone by rather quickly.
Yeah, I typically, as a Marquette fan, I end up hating March Madness because I always think they should go further than they do, and then
they're always like a two or three seed, it seems.
Well, this year they're fourth in the country right now, and I'm just ready for a heartbreak.
Yeah, they do that a good bit, I feel like, in the tournament.
Yeah, hopefully Shaka can kind of turn it around this year, but I guess that's a whole other story. Todd Neuendorf joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, Coach, obviously it's been a great year for sure. And, you know, you mentioned playing in the SODAC 16, or at least getting into the playoffs and playing at the state tournament level. I think the word came out, I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, they're voting on moving these neutral site games to home games for the future. Do you kind of like that, or do you like that? Pardon me. Or do you kind of like the fact that you have these neutral site games? I would guess, as a head coach, you say, "I want the home game every single time."
Yeah, I do. I think the home game, you know, you've worked all year for it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, you know, and sometimes you go to a neutral site, like, and it's not really neutral. You know what I mean? It might sound neutral, but for instance, we've played four times in the Corn Palace this year. Well, you know, if we've played four times in the Corn Palace and we've played eight times at home, you know, so for us to go to the Corn Palace and play a fifth time, I'd be good with that, because our kids, you know, our kids feel comfortable there. And sometimes neutral sites aren't neutral. The cool thing is, like last year, playing the Huron Arena, which I think right up there with the Aberdeen Central Civic Arena, the old Civic Arena, are two of the best gyms in the state of South Dakota. So that was fun. But I think that to give the team that has put in all the work and the effort, they deserve the opportunity to play in their home floor, on, you know, in front of their fans, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Coach, you mentioned you played Sioux Falls Christian there twice. You lost at the buzzer, and then you played them, I believe, at the back there in Madison. You know, can you just talk about the difference of those two games? Maybe, you know, what was it like in the second game, knowing that, hey, we lost at the buzzer to them earlier on in the season? What was kind of like the mentality going into that second game? And obviously, you'd want another crack at it again and play them a third time, right, if you had the opportunity to, and make it, you know, where you eventually want to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, they're really good. I think it's two good basketball teams. I think it's a, you know, I'm a Celtic fan, and I watched the Celtics play the Heat the other night. And they said the Celtics swept the regular season this year. Well, again, I'm sitting there watching the game, and I know if it comes to the postseason, it's going seven games, just because you got two good teams. And you know, like, we could have won those two games. We could have won those two games during the regular season, and I would have the same feeling I have now. We'd play them a third time and go either way. So I think you get that with good teams. You know, you go into games and you feel pretty good about, hey, we're playing this team. If we do this and we do this, we're going to be okay. We can do everything right against a team like Sioux Falls Christian. And if they do everything right, you know, you still could lose the ball game. It's just, it's two pretty good teams playing each other and have good athletes. And the ball, you know, you get a 50-50 ball goes your way instead of the other way, you win the ball game. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where it is. You know, we feel comfortable playing them again. We feel comfortable playing anybody, if we're you know, doing what we're supposed to do. It's just I'm sure they feel the same way. You know, they've been battle tested too. They've played a lot of double A schools, and you know, we've tried to put our schedule as close to theirs as possible to give us that chance in the postseason. And our problem is we can't get the double A schools like they can be in Sioux Falls. But you know, we've played some good ones, and if we get another crack at them, I'm sure it'll be one of those that comes right down to the wire.
Mid-season tournament. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing. I mean, of course, you being the NBA guy, you know, you might enjoy that. I don't know.
He probably said. He said that he pretty much pencils in a game seven for the Heat. He probably doesn't feel about that with my Sixers. He probably thinks that might be a 5 or 6 game, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Sixers are kind of kind of been a little snake bitten, but you know, I think they're pretty good. I like the Maxey. I like him as a guard. I think he's pretty good. And I think if they, I don't know how the NBA works. It seems like a different animal. But if I had Joel Embiid, he would not leave. The only half circle he would be around is the charge one. I'd put him down there and I'd throw the ball every time. And I dare need to charge him. If he wants to toe up at a line, that's the line he could toe up on, because who's going to stop him?
I can't disagree with that, yeah.
As long as he goes out there and sets sail from the three-point line, then the Celtics will have a chance, you know.
Yeah.
But if he decides, hey, I want to score 60 and I'm gonna do it right down here, nobody can stop him.
I don't know. Al Horford seems to guard him pretty good in the playoffs for whatever reason. It ticks me off.
I don't know, but Al Horford's got an AARP card, so he might not be able to get it done anymore.
I was going to say, he's one of those guys you could hear nothing about the entire season, then playoff comes, you're like, oh, man, this guy's fresh. He's
playoff Al, it's a thing.
Playoff Al, for sure. All right, Coach, final one before I get you out of here. You know, talking about some of your guys here, Tyson Stevenson, Easton, Evan Stormo, these guys have had great years. Can you just kind of talk about that three-pronged attack and why they've been so good for you guys this year?
Well, you know, and you mentioned those three, and we can put 5 guys out there like that can all score the ball. We played Castlewood, and in the first half we had 7 guys that had hit a 3 in the first half, and you know, and then the other night in Viberg Hurley, you know, we had a guy score 20, and one score 17, and one score 16, and 2 score 14, and I think that's what makes this maybe tough to guard, maybe tough to scout, because some teams you can say we got to take this guy away or we got to take this guy away. But with us, maybe it might be a little hard. Like, again, I've done this for 29 years, and, you know, I was telling a guy last night, I said, I don't know that I have coached, and keep in mind, I've coached some really good teams at Roncalli, and yep. And we won the state tournament in 2015, but this team might be the most complete team I've coached. And we got a big guy that can go out and shoot it, score inside. We've got a point guard that can run the show. We've got shooters all over, you know. So again, I think that's the point. Like the thing with these kids is they're really unselfish, and that they're not out hunting points. And you know, we could have a different leading scorer every night and half. And I think that's what makes, when you're talking about that attack, and I think it's kind of a 5-prong attack. I know you mentioned those 3 guys and they're really good, but we got 5. When we put 5 out there, and Dawson Gnome comes off the bench, and Dawson would start for a lot of teams that we're playing, because he's good, but he's coming off the bench for us. So you know, I think that helps. I just think, and they've bought into the fact that, hey, you know, tonight it's going to be my turn, or tomorrow night it's going to be my turn. If it's not, you know, if I'm not getting it done, somebody else is getting it done. So I think that's what's led to our success a little bit. You know, and we got to keep that going, because we're really unselfish, and I like the way we're playing. We really move the basketball on the offensive end.
Yeah, it's a team in every sense of the fashion, for sure. Well, best of luck here tonight against Britton Hecla coach and Clark Willow Lake coming up here later on this week. Continued success, and we'll talk to you later on down the road, I'm sure.
All right, thanks for having us on.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Head coach Todd Neuendorf joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And wouldn't it be so poetic if they get that team a third time, Sioux Falls Christian?
Yeah, they certainly would want the opportunity to do it, but like he said, you got to get to the dance, right? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't like the March Madness style. You know, it's you lose, you're out. There's no tomorrow kind of thing.
We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, and it's funny. We were talking about that yesterday. You got to bring your A game, and you know Hamlin's been pretty much beating up everybody this year outside of Sioux Falls Christian. I mean, and the team they played from Tennessee. So, I mean, if you got to just continue to do what you're doing. And like we said, somebody can get hot, make a game close, and, you know, palms get sweaty down there in a SODAC 16 game. You never know. But, you know, I think for head coach Todd Neuendorf and Hamlin, you know, they want to get back. They want to get back to where they were last year. They were very close last year, played that Dakota Valley team that went undefeated, was amazing, and they played really good in that first half. You can just sense it from listening to them and that team. They returned a lot of guys back. They want to get back there and finish the job.
Looking forward to that, and looking forward to just the state tournaments in general, A, AA, and Class B. We'll talk some more high school basketball on the girls and boys side coming up next. Plus, don't forget JK has your Wings Weekly in less than 10 minutes. Jay Klein Connect's got your Aberdeen Wings Weekly. Matt Wisner, he'll be joining JK coming up in a little less than 10 minutes on the show, a little less than 5, actually. On FSA, South Dakota Prep Media Basketball Poll, officially out. Check out our website for more details there. We talked about that in our two-minute sports update. Girls basketball from last night, T Downing Aberdeen Central, 63-35. Central goes plus 10 on the glass. They shoot 39%. Not bad, but 19 turnovers kind of their undoing. And you said they got a gal out there for T that had herself a day.
Yeah, Katie Fasica is 25 points, 5 rebounds. She's playing her ball at South Dakota State next year. Just tall, can really do a good thing, do a great job just pulling up and can go coast to coast. Really nice win. And you mentioned it, 39% for Central, 56% for T. That's the big difference of the game.
Yeah, they also shot 53% from beyond the curve, 8 of 15 from downtown. Other final scores last night in girls basketball, Aberdeen Christian falls at home to Hitchcock Tulare, 41-32. Britton Hecla gets past Wabe Summit by an eyelash, 62-61. Parkston was all over Esteline Hendricks, 64-30. Aberdeen Ron Colley gets another Batman and Robin performance from Maddox Miller and Keegan Stewart. They combine for 36 of the 58 for Ron Colley. They down Clark Willow Lake. They could have beat them by themselves, 36 points to 35 points combined. It's kind of weird how those numbers work out, but Ron Colley picks up a nice win against Clark Willow Lake, 58-35. That was a matchup that was postponed from earlier on this year, and they earned themselves a 23-point victory. Aberdeen Christian, they down Hitchcock Tulare, 72-44. Brendan Noel had 11 points there for the Patriots in the loss. Jackson Maynard also chipping in 10, but it wasn't enough because Joey Johnson played, and man alive did he play. School record, 48 points. Connor Furman also chipping in 11. Aberdeen Christian now winners of their last 11 games.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And we talked about it in the open, how Aberdeen Christian, how they've been playing this year, 48 points from Johnson. And I don't know what's going on, but they're just clicking on all cylinders, and they're playing really good team basketball. Connor Furman wearing doubled figures. So although Johnson had the 48, they're still getting contributors from other guys, and that's huge.
And they're back in action here tonight as well, taking on Lankford. Milbank gets 30 points and 10 boards from Joe Schulte. They were all over Esteline Hendricks last night, 78-58. Garrett Mertens with 21 points, 7 assists, and 4 rebounds. Nice balanced attack there. Wabe Summit gets 23 from Jackson Wooliber. They defeat Britton Hecla, 72-34. Highmore Herald squeaks past Potter County at home, 60-57. Carson Varuska drops in 19. Florence Henry defeats Lankford big, 64-24. Hankinson outscores Wilmot 22-5 in the second quarter. That was kind of it. 64-38, your final there. Wakapala downs North Central, 71-41. And TZ downs Crow Creek, 79-71. How about your Timbies, man? 121-100 against the Clippers last night.
Yeah, had a big second half last night. And I'll tell you what, watch out for the Timbies in the West. They're playing good ball. I'm here for it.
Oh, first round exit. Who's ready for it? I hope not. I hope that's not the case. JK is coming up next on FSA.
The second portion of Wings Weekly continues on. Jay Klein Connect again returning with, and this time, a player and a gentleman that has joined us before, but Matt Wisner of Winnipeg coming back on the show. A big weekend for you. I know the stats are getting reported and stuff. They're not always necessarily the exact same, but I had you for 5 assists and a goal on the weekend. Does that sound right?
I think it's only goal and 3 assists.
But 3 assists? I had you for 4 Friday alone.
Yeah, but still.
Okay, well, either way, a strong weekend, a big weekend for you for sure. What's working? What is with you and your line mates, and how do you put your finger on it and kind of give us a little bit of a pulse of how things are, you know, how you guys are being able to be successful right now?
I think it's just, you know, finding a jam and you know, playing with pace and physical and doing all the right things in all 3 zones, and you know, that usually leads to success, and I, you know, it's been working this last couple of weeks. So,
well, anyway, I talked to Coach just a little bit about a little bit ago about the growth of this team and where the measuring tape or the measuring stick, whatever you want to call it, is. When you first arrived in this locker room back in August, September, early on, late August. Have you seen growth from this group? Have you seen growth from these guys in the locker room? Do you guys feel like you've improved?
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, it's not hard to see that, you know, where we started at the start of the year. It's, you know, insane how much progress we've made. And obviously, we struggled pretty bad at the start. And, you know, we've really found our game here in the last, you know, couple months. And we're just looking to, you know, keep improving and building on that and heading into this kind of final stretch here.
Well, with consistency being a big part, you know, something, again, that I've talked with Coach Langer about on several occasions, about something where, you know, it's like you guys are able to win a game, but then you lose a game, then you lose, you know, where you can start to string them together and put a couple of sweeps together and stuff. What's the major difference? What do you think, is able to project to you, or what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word right now, what is able to, you know, for you guys to be able to kind of, you know, work to that point where you're starting to see some of that consistency and starting to be able to play with a little bit more as a group, night in, night out, 60 minutes?
You know, the skill has always been there. I mean, the team hasn't changed too much since the start of the year. And I don't know, I think we just really bought in and, you know, started learning the systems a little better. And yeah, it's just, we've just led to success in that way. And yeah.
I don't know why that word is bugging me right now, but it's like a missile. Like, you know, what projects at it? Anyway, I'm stuck on that word. But anyway, that's awesome to hear that you guys are, you know, again, you're seeing that growth and you're seeing that, you know, that you're starting to kind of gel together a little bit more. Again, as you go down, like you said, this final kind of home stretch. You've got Bismarck coming up here in just a bit, and we're going to talk about them in a moment. But I wanted to talk with you about a couple of other things real quickly here. You watched Super Bowl yesterday?
Yep. Yeah. We did a little team thing, and everyone had their kind of picks for who was going to win, and yeah, so it was a good time.
Did you did you come out on the winning end or the losing end?
I was going for Chiefs. So yeah, it was a great game. That was probably one of the best games I've seen.
Going to overtime and stuff, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, came down to the wire, so it was fun to watch.
Were you over at Heather and Johnny's?
Yeah.
They didn't invite me. Jerks.
Food.
Yeah, it looked like it. So I got to ask you a follow-up there. I've seen all over the internet, last night, today, I'm honestly sick to death of it, but people complaining about, oh, Taylor Swift ruined the NFL, blah, blah, blah. Where you stand on that? I feel like she has her God-given right to be able to go to a football game and cheer on her boyfriend, or do you feel like she's ruining things?
I mean, I don't really care too much, but sometimes they do show a little too much, but you know,
see,
not really my...
I'm like, like they,
not my place
they flash
to stand.
but they flash a picture of her or a video of her for 10 seconds, what, four times a game? And then I'm like, it's no different to me. You watch a New York Knicks basketball game and they show Spike Lee over and over again.
Yeah,
you know, you
no,
watch
I
it.
I don't really have too much of a problem with it.
Yeah. I just find it interesting how heated people get about it. So I wanted to ask you and get your take on it, because people, it seems like there are people awfully worked up. And I'm like, man, there are bigger things in life to be worked up about than whether or not there's a celebrity at a football game. YMCA jersey night on this week, well, this weekend, the auction, of course, on Saturday night. Do you do anything at the YMCA with, like, the stickball stuff, or, you know, do you volunteer or work?
I'm basically there every day.
Yeah?
Going to the hot tub and getting a quick workout in, so... I mean, that's kind of my spot.
Yeah?
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, it's cool because, you know, it was, you know, kids strong. You know, the idea behind it and behind the jerseys and everything was to promote activity for children, you know, and to get them out and to be active and to be athletic. And obviously you guys, all of you in this locker room, no doubt, are not ones that, you know, are sitting on your butts as kids. You were out at being active and so on. What does that mean to you? To be able to participate in an auction like that, or not, I shouldn't say the auction so much, but to represent the YMCA. And when you utilize the facilities and so on, and you see the kids in and out and all, you know, all their, you know, and supporting them.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Like, it's such a big organization, and it's so important, especially in these kind of smaller cities. I know, like, everywhere we've been, there's a YMCA, and, you know, I know a lot of people, every day you're in there and you see so many people using it, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's really good.
And I thought it was awesome to see the support from the crowd and from, you know, we saw it at Pink the Rink in Austin, you know, when I mentioned it on air often, you know, how when I see junior teams and these hockey teams getting behind the different organizations in their community and, you know, the players supporting them and helping out and stuff. I just think that's so cool. It's such a great way to give back. So love to see that. Okay. Speaking of which, not long from now, I think it's about a month, but we have the Aspire Bowl with the Wings tournament coming up, and it's always a lot of fun for, you know, for everybody. Who have you bowled with, any of these guys? Who's the best bowler?
That's a tough one. I mean, we went bowling as a team a couple months back, and I'm trying to remember. There were some really good bowlers, like, I mean, I'm not one myself. I was probably one of the worst. So we'll see how March goes here. But no, there's some good guys on this team. So
years ago, and this has been quite a while, he played for Bowling Green, and there was a guy named Adam Pitters that played for the Aberdeen Wings, and he was so darn good. I could not believe how good of a bowler he was. And it turned out that his grandparents owned a bowling alley, and he grew up bowling. I was shocked watching this kid bowl. He was so good. Anyway, all right. So that being said, we've also got the Teddy Bear Toss coming up Saturday night. Always a huge event here at the ODI Center. It's a huge event everywhere you go when they have them and so on. And great, fundraiser, way to give back. What's your pick? Who's going to do it Saturday night? Who's going to make those teddy bears fly?
I don't know. I mean, we did it last year with my old team, and I was just lucky enough to be able to score. I'm not too confident this year. We got some pretty good goal scorers. I think I'll go with Bulgakov.
You going to go with Leo?
He's been going scoring first a couple times.
Okay. All right, so talking about the locker room, looking around these stalls and all these nameplates and stuff, who would you say is the most high maintenance of all of these players and all these guys that you know?
I got a couple that are for sure up there. I think probably my roommate Simon is definitely up there.
Paulie was my very first. Yeah. I was like thinking this in my head. I'm like,
he's definitely got his routine and his own kind of timeline on things. So I think that's my pick.
All right, there you go. How about this? Now, if you're going through, say, a Starbucks or a Dunn Brothers coffee or whatever, what's your order? What's it look like?
I actually don't drink coffee. I think I would just stick with my hot chocolate.
You and Conan said the same thing. Like, I'll go with water. Oh, okay. Wow, all right then. All right. Well, I tell you what, we're rolling along here. You've got Bismarck coming into the building. Bismarck's on a hot streak. They've been winning games, left and right, and are climbing up the standings, kind of chasing Minot after pulling 3 points out of the weekend there at the Mesa. What do you feel like are some keys against the Bobcats? A team, again, as I mentioned to Coach Langer just a little while ago, that you guys haven't seen for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long since we played them. So much has changed. So I think just coming in treating it like any other weekend. I mean, obviously, these points are big. We got them a lot in the next kind of month and a bit. So I think just sticking our game, coming prepared. We need the wins this weekend. So.
Yeah. Well, sitting in third right now in the standings, and again, we keep climbing and St. Cloud chasing. There's, playoff spots are on the line for sure. All right. Well, as I talked about, folks, this weekend, the Bismarck Bobcats come to town. Corporate game sponsor, Farmers Union Insurance, feeding South Dakota Salvation Army food drive going on. Bring 3 non-perishable food items or $10 to donate to the Aberdeen Salvation Army and receive a Wings Farmers Union Insurance jersey. Saturday, February 17th, corporate game sponsor, the Yolda Shrine. Teddy bear toss night, as we talked about just a little while ago. Bring a stuffed animal to throw onto the ice after the first Wings goal, and the stuffed animals will be donated to local charities. We do kind of ask that you put them in like a bag, a garbage bag, or a grocery bag or something, so they don't get all wet and dirty when they get thrown on the ice. And at Skate with the Wings after the game there on Saturday night. Sponsorships and reserve tickets are available for the remainder of 2020-23 and 2024 season. Call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. For all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit AberdeenWings.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Once again, Matt Wisner, thank you so much for joining me. And, hey, congratulations on a big weekend here this weekend, and good luck against the Bobcats.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that'll wrap up this week's Wings Weekly.
And once again, that's the voice of your Aberdeen Wings, Jay Kleinkonect, for an Aberdeen Wings Weekly. You can check out the full episode on their YouTube page at Aberdeen Wings and have that 9-minute conversation with head coach Scott Langer. Big weekend once again for the Aberdeen Wings coming up this weekend as well as next. 4 straight games against the team that they're just a couple of games back of in the Central Division, the Bismarck Bobcats. If you want Wings tickets for this upcoming Friday and Saturday, give us a call at 605-229-3632. That's 605-229-3632. We've got Wings tickets for you at a discounted price, the best price for Wings tickets in all of Aberdeen. That's it for us and our time together here today. We're back at it tomorrow for a Wolves midweek